Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. Michael, I want to just do a quick sound check before I proceed.
You sound great to me.
Excellent. Thank you.
Sure.
So I'm joined this afternoon by Sherry and Rebecca, who are both joining us this afternoon to talk a little bit more about some really fun coaching, group coaching opportunities that are coming up. So welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Jen.
And welcome, Sherry.
Hi, thanks, Jen.
So, Sherry, I thought we might start with you. Just have you tell us a little bit about what's coming up and what the dates are and the deadlines and that sort of thing.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm really excited to be offering a four-week group coaching program that is called Mornings with the Mentor. And the gist of that is that I've found in my own practice that mornings are like such an amazing time to connect with a mentor, to set intentions for the day, to do recordings that really sort of set me up for having a day that's compassionate and kind and gentle with myself, particularly because often in the mornings is when conditioning really pummels me. I don't know, but I think it's a kind of a popular time for conditioning, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a fabulous time to connect with a mentor, and it's such a vulnerable time for conditioning to come in and just grab us.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's sort of where, you know, it came from my own practice of finding that that's really been such an important time for me. So with the group, I'll be asking people to commit to 20 minutes every morning to sort of set their intentions and to create, you know, at least a recording or two and then listen to them that would really support them in having the kind of day that they really want in their hearts.
And, you know, it's so good because it's something actually we talk about a fair amount in practice, kind of that as you're making that transition from, you know, being asleep, literally, and kind of waking up and watching the identity sort of want and pull itself back together and who I am and how is the day going to go and all those just millions of beliefs and assumptions that sort of get downloaded in those moments. So I often hear people talk about wanting to really bring a lot of consciousness to that period of time, and yet how easy it is for us not to do that and to kind of have that intention but never follow through with it. So what a brilliant kind of group coaching thing to do where we're upping our game in terms of giving ourselves that accountability.
Yeah, and especially I think because, again, my own experience is that oftentimes conditioning will just hit me when I wake up with, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you got to do that. Like just, you know, these like long, you know, lists as if I'm like some slave. And, yeah, it's so nice to be able to just like stop and, like you said, you know, really like bring consciousness to the day and to what really is important.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that's so true. I just had that image, you know, often, this is so effective for me in practice, to really imagine that actual scenario happening. And could you imagine someone you love who's waking up in the morning and you're standing right over them waiting for their eyes to open and say, no, don't forget about this, and you got to do that, and you got to do that, don't forget about it, good, and you got to do it right, you got to do it well. What are they going to think?
Oh, Jen, I know, and yet you're saying that, and that, you know, that's what it does to us. But if we can get, I mean, and this is the thing, and we can support each other, which I'm really excited about, because I've sort of been, you know, doing this on my own for a really long time now, but it's like to have a group where we can really, like, support each other, and I know from doing other group coaching that oftentimes, like, you know, people share their process, and in doing that, there's, like, all these ideas that get shared, like, oh, I didn't think of that, you know?
Yeah. Truly, that's what was dropping in for me, too, as you're saying that it's a service to the whole team of whoever's participating in the group coaching because, you know, everyone's going to come at it from their own particular angles, and they'll be practicing with whatever they're practicing with and then having inputs based on that the whole group gets to really participate in and try out and share.
Exactly. Yeah, and also, like, we get to sort of look at different, like, resistance busters and, you know, and being kind to ourselves when we aren't following through maybe, but then, like, how we get just, like, jump back into it. Like, all those things are so much better when they're shared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I'm going to ask Rebecca, too, but any other kind of points about it before we switch to the next opportunity?
Well, just real quickly, the other thing that I just, you know, I think is really important is that when I say, you know, setting intentions, those intentions can be anything. You know, it might be, you know, I want to laugh a lot today. Or it might be, I want to finish this X project and I want to do it with, you know, kindness to myself. Or I want to run X number of miles. Like, it could be any sorts of intentions, but just that we're consciously setting them and consciously, like, setting some kindness in there and compassion, too.
Yeah, I really appreciate that point. It's so critical. I was just watching that today, just having one of those. I actually looked up online. I was like, is Mercury retrograde? Because that is the experience I'm having today. It's not. I found a website that says, that tells you whether or not it's thought it is, and it says, no, something else must be bumming you out. I was like, well, it is. But I just, it was so fabulous because what I watched in the middle of all that tends to do, you know, quote, too much information with too little time, you know, just coming. And I sat down and I just wrote a list of the main things that needed to get done. And on that list were drink water, you know, be calm. And, you know, just so exactly what you're talking about. And what a difference it makes to actually make those things real life priorities, not pretend, not, oh, I wish, but actually make them priorities and do them, follow through. It makes such a huge difference in a life.
Yes. Oh, it's so beautiful. And also it's amazing, like, when we just, like, I found, like, just to say it aloud in the mornings, how much more likely those things are to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Record them and then listen to them during the day.
Yep.
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 Yep. Yep. Super. Thanks, Sherry.
Yeah, sure.
So, Rebecca, maybe you could tell us a little bit about the opportunity that you here have going on.
Yeah, it's called Magic of Menus. But before we get too far up of mornings with the mentor, I want to give the times that I have them here in front of me. So the coaching sessions are going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific time starting October the 8th. So it's Wednesdays in October. And the last day to register is Wednesday, October 1st. And you do that by emailing groupcoaching@livingcompassion.org. And all of this is on Sangha Market in the services section. So you can go to sanghamarket.com, the services section, and find all of this information. A little Zen mind. That's right. Just like the mountain says. So that's funny. You know, I almost called the group coaching opportunity that I'm offering, I almost called it Menus with the Mentor. You keep it the same. Walking and mornings and menus with the mentor. Because it really is the same principle of bringing consciousness, of bringing intentionality and accountability and support and love and all of that to the process of our food and our eating. And, you know, so really the idea behind this is what with a little bit of structure, a little bit of that the menus represent, we can bring so many tools to bear on our eating and our food choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. So, because again, both of the topics I project are huge for so many people. And so there's that intention, of course we want to eat well. You know, of course we want to support the body. Of course we want to do all those things. But we need a lot of help transforming that, I really want to do that, into, well, how is that actually going to happen? Not only the process support, but the actual, like you're talking about, the tools to do it.
Yeah, and I know not so much here since I've lived here, but I remember years of, you know, you just look in the pantry, what is your supper? You know, I see Tostitos, and I know I have cheese. Okay, nachos, that's it. Throw a jalapeno on it, we'll call it a vegetable in there. You know, and it's just not, you know, it's just not really kind. But it's at the end of the day, and you're tired, and that's just what happens, or a bowl of cereal or whatever. So it does a real disservice to the body, you know, to not bring that kind of, you know, forethought and planning to it. And it can be, as I have discovered, the food here and it's so wonderful and there's so much care and consciousness put into it. It is the biggest treat, you know, three times a day to sit down to these meals. And not that every meal has to be like what's prepared here, for sure. But that same love that goes into that, is available to us in our daily lives. And so what I'm offering to folks is I've gone back to all the kitchen corners of the monastery newsletter and I've pulled the recipes that we've made public out and I've compiled them into a little document. So folks will get that as sort of a little kickstart, mm-hmm. as well as a You know, it's just a little menu template. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whether people want to just start with, okay, I'm going to just schedule menus. I'm going to plan menus for just three dinners mm-hmm. this month mm-hmm. or, you know, six meals, you know, this week or whatever. It's like when we talk about starting meditating, start really slow, kind, doable, you know, go for the win. And having the support of the group, you know, to basically call in once a week and also do an email check-in to see how it's going, what's coming up for you, what do you want to look at with someone to facilitate that. And, you know, and just and have that group process and to look at it.
And that's so, I love that piece about start wherever you are and with what's manageable, because I project what happens in that process is we fall in love with the process. And then, so, you know, conditioning wants us to start out with perfect, because what's that going to do? We're going to hate the process. It's going to be a setup for failure. It's going to be hard. It's going to be overwhelming. It's not going to fit in our schedule. And we're going to hate it, and we're going to quit.
Yeah.
But instead, if we get really smart, I mean, the way we do it in the monastery is really in many ways a great model, in that we don't spend our entire lives on food, you know. You know, granted, we have a community of folks, but we spend an hour in the morning, and we make fabulous meals for the rest of the day, and that's it.
Yeah.
So there are lots of ways to really look at it and put the time and attention and care instead of, as you say, expecting ourselves after a long day at work to come home and get creative. It's never going to happen. So to really get smart about that, get supportive about that, fall in love with the process, and let that love lead us instead of that should lead us.
And to realize how little time it really can take. You know, that was a surprise to me, too, that how much we get done in an hour of cooking. And it really is just sort of getting ahead of the curve. And that's what I think this group coaching thing can hopefully help folks do. So I can go through, I've got the dates and time for that. So the calls themselves are also on Wednesdays in October, starting October 8th. And our calls are from 4:30 to 5:25. So basically people could do menus at 4:30 and then do mornings at 10 to 6. And the Wednesday would be all practice on Wednesday evening. And again, people can sign up by October 1st at on the Sangha Market website.
And part of your morning with the mentor could be reading through what you've got on the menu for that day.
Exactly. And looking forward to that delicious meal that you've already soaked the beans and all you've got to do is turn on. You know, it's just like it's going to be so conscious.
Yeah.
And compassionate.
Yeah, I love it. That's great. And Sherry, thank you to you too. Anything else before we end that you came up for you as we were speaking?
No, I'm really excited. And I kind of got excited about taking that menu, so I'm glad they're not overlapping in time. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you to both of you and to the whole coaching program. It's adding so much to practice. We hear about it all the time. So many thanks. Looking forward to those opportunities. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Rebecca. And thank you, Sherry. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. Good. That was fun. That was inspiring.
It was inspiring.
It was great.
Gets me hungry thinking about food, too.
I know. You know, the one thing that struck me about that, and I know that they're going to talk to people about this a lot in everything that we do, but those kinds of things, particularly like the cooking, I love to have that time for recording and listening.
Hmm.
So my big thing is the morning, and I love my mornings. I love getting up and having my tea and doing my practices and having my breakfast, and that's a huge recording and listening time for me. So anytime I'm exercising or if I'm preparing food or any of those kinds of things, I'm usually listening, but then I often stop to record because I've just had an insight about something that I was listening to. So I'm really hoping that people enjoy having that. It's like the best the best form of multitasking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the sense I'm getting from what you're sharing is really a concentration of practice opportunities in the morning to get the day started in the direction we want to go.
Yes, and then to carry that into the evening. So, you know, if I finish my day and I'm tired, there are a few things that rejuvenate me faster than recording and listening. And
yes.
So to make that a part of it, you know, karmic conditioning, as we all know, it wants us to be in a conversation about, oh, God, I don't have any energy and how can I, it's going to be so hard. But as soon as, in fact, I turn my attention to the things that energize me, recording and listening, being right up there for me, and getting the rest of my steps in or those kinds of things, doing some yoga, when the those activities that energize happen, then suddenly, ooh, I've got another X number of hours in my day that I don't have to drag through and be miserable over. I can really enjoy. They can become my favorite parts of the day because they're the days that I'm with me and the mentor in relationship. So I do hope people take advantage of those kinds of things. Mostly because there's just so much resistance wrapped up in anything that is for us, you know, anything that takes care of us and takes us out of those, oh, God, how am I going to survive another conversation?
Yes, and it is exactly my experience as well that when I'm listening to something, then any kind of task just becomes more relaxing and easier and I can just flow into it and there's not a big wall of resistance.
Exactly. If driving, you know, commuting, that's not a problem. If you have recording and listening, house cleaning, it's fun. You know, just put in those earbuds and away you go. So, of course, as we know, the big secret there is I'm out of that miserable conversation and I'm in a conversation that's uplifting and inspiring. So it's not a secret how it works. The trick is just getting those earbuds in.
Yes.
Because there's so much resistance.
Yes, and as I've heard you say many times, putting those in or clicking play, that is the disidentification right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is it explains all of that resistance. Because as soon as we do that, as soon as the attention shifts from whatever karmic conditioning is doing to us and shifts to this here now and something that we choose, you know, it no longer has any power over us. So it's interesting to me because I love it so much. You know, when I hear people, you know, I'm up to a few minutes a couple of times a week, and I just think, wow, you know, it's like the most joyful experience. Or the person who said, you know, that walking, oh, my God, you know, trying to walk this for a half-hour day, how boring. And I just think to be talked into believing that the most joyful experiences a human being is capable of having, which is being alive in the moment that one is currently existing in, that it does. There is nothing more joyful than that. And the fact that we've been taught to see it as boring or a waste of time or something I don't want to do or, oh, God, no, not that. I go between it's really, really sad, which it is, and just kind of amazed you know, that there could be such mass hypnosis. There seems to be, and fortunately we're finding more and more ways to wake up from it, get out from under it, and find that freedom and enjoy our lives.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. More opportunities every week, as I notice.
Yes, I think there's one coming up soon, isn't there, Michael?
Well, there's a lot, and I have three announcements here. I'll put them in chronological order. Come to the Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 4th, and celebrate our support and connection with the community in Candelumba.
There's so much good news, so many exciting things happening there. What else?
Join you, Sherry, in Felton, California on Saturday, October 25th. That's in person. Learn how to have it all at this one-day workshop.
It's a fun one. Beautiful Namaste Retreat Center.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And registration is now open for the New Year's retreat.
Whoa.
Whoa, yeah, already.
How does that happen? Weren't we just talking about kicking
we
off the year, Michael?
We were talking about it. Yes, we
yeah.
were.
Wow, all right. Well, that's going to be a good one.
Yes, it is. Spend the New Year's holiday the way you would like to spend your year with the loving, compassionate support of Sangha from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And visit schedule.livingcompassion.org for more information on these and all our events.
Great. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. And a couple of reminders to make guest show to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry. Press *6 on your phone and then 1, and that will put you in the queue. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started.
Right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Wow, how scary. Zelda speaking. Can you hear me?
Ooh.
Hello?
Michael?
You.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Try it again, Isota. Maybe a little quieter.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes. I think you're speaking to us from the other end of the world. Is that true?
Is that true? It sounds like it?
It does sound like it, yes.
Let me try something else. Sorry, I have another option. Just 1 second, eh? Let me run. 1 second?
Yes.
I'm running to the other side of the world. Is it here?
You sound good. In fact, it sounds very close.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah? How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to talk to you. I just signed up for the New Year's retreat.
Oh, excellent. Wonderful.
Exactly. So not only when I was waiting, I was thinking, what will I ask her now? But I was even thinking, while conditioning, was thinking, what will you ask her when you meet her in person? So I'm trying not to go for it and just be present.
That's right. When we're together, we'll talk about exactly what is arising in the moment that we are sharing together.
Exactly, exactly. It's hard to be first caller, though, because, you know, usually you hear somebody else and then something comes up. While now, I have so many things I want to ask and I don't know which one to ask.
Uh-huh. Well, just pick one.
Okay. I'll pick one. Vegetarian. Can you give me some guidelines about how important it is, or if it is important at all, to be a vegetarian? Because conditioning is giving me a super hard time about it. I'm not vegetarian.
Uh-huh. And conditioning is invested in you not being vegetarian?
Well, there is one thing. I used to have food problems for many years, like anorexia, bulimia, whatever. And it worked like the conditioning gave me a lot of rules about food. And the way I got out about it, the way I got out of it was stopping listening to conditioning rules about food.
So that's a really good idea.
Yeah, exactly. But now the thing is that I don't understand. It seems like conditioning wants to give me rules and wants me to be a vegetarian. I don't know who wants it, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm scared about food rules.
Yeah. So, you know, the reason that we as Buddhists are vegetarian is not to take the life of other creatures.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So we don't have anything. Now, in our practice, we have a lot of things about taking best care of the body and being kind to the body and all of those sorts of things. But the bottom line with vegetarianism is simply not taking the life of other creatures, not killing. So that's that. Now, we don't make rules in this practice. I think not making rules, for the most part, is how Buddhism operates. So a lot of people, of course, make rules, but that's not what the Buddha taught. He didn't teach a rigid set of rules that you have to follow. What he taught, as far as I know, is that we will not allow ourselves not to suffer as long as we are doing things that hurt the heart. That, you get me on that one?
Karma, right?
Yeah. And so that's the reason that he taught something like not killing, not stealing, not being unchaste, not telling lies, not, because when we do these things, we are going against our heart, against our authentic nature. And when we make a choice against the heart, whether we're listening to conditioning telling us this is what we want and this is what makes us happy and that sort of thing, at the deepest level, we're not choosing our hearts, and so we're suffering. So it's not even actually a moral issue. It just comes down to doing everything we can do to end suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, with all of the precepts, in this practice at least, the encouragement is to do whatever we're doing and pay really close attention and see what we feel good about and what we feel bad about. To not assume from a conditioned place that we know the answer to something, but to look really deeply and closely, pay very close attention to the guidance of the intelligence that animates us, and see what is so for us. And then if we get to the point where we say, not a lot of the world would agree that this behavior is stealing, but it feels like stealing to me, so I don't want to do that anymore. Feels like I'm taking something that isn't really given to me, and so I don't want to do that. And it's from that place that we make our life choices, not from right and wrong or should or any of those kinds of conditioned orientations.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it makes super sense. Yeah, the stealing example is super super clear. So I see in my heart if I feel this compassion. Well, I'm sure I feel it. I have to look for it, because being a city person, you know, I think I've never seen a cow in my life, almost. You know, so it's kind of hard to find this feeling. Yeah. Stealing is pretty clear. Killing a cow is not clear, but I guess that I can look for it, or go cow watching.
Yes, yes. So one of the ways that it occurred to me, and I think I just talked about this recently, but I can't remember where. So I'll tell you that when we have a child, when we fall in love with a child, it's our doorway into loving all children. And of course, karmic conditioning wants us to believe that our children are more important or more special, that they should have more than other children. Now, of course, when we stop and look at it, we would have to come up with a, now why would that be the case? Because children are children, and all children are inherently lovable. So it's not true that my children deserve more.
and that I should choose them over other children. Now, I'm probably going to, but I can at least know that it's an invalid position. Okay? So when I have an animal in my life, whether it's a dog or a cat or with some, you know, little people, you have a hamster or a fish, when you have something that is not human in your life and you learn to love it, that's the doorway to loving all creatures that are not human, but that we get to see are alive and vital and themselves and valuable in their aliveness. And then we live in a place and we spend time with the plants and the trees and the birds and the creatures, and we get to know them. And in knowing them and feeling a love for them, we have the opportunity to extend that to everything that lives. So if I love the tree in my yard, it's very short-sighted of me not to want all trees to be loved and appreciated and valued and cared for the way I take care of my tree.
Yes, I know exactly the feeling with the tree. Yeah, exactly. I know what you talk about. So, yeah, I should get a pet.
And so, you know, with it as a practice, what it does is open up for us the opportunity to find out. So a lot of people, I think you were indicating this, would go into a grocery store and walk up to a meat counter and pick up lamb chops or pork chops or ham hocks or whatever it is that they're getting, and never stop to think that this is the body of a creature that was alive.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so it's up to us to take that step of getting to know that creature, getting to appreciate that tree or that flower or that child that opens our hearts in a way that enables us to extend that compassion to all beings. That's our opportunity, I think, as human beings. That's the best thing we have going for us as human beings. We have the ability to do that.
You know, listening to this, what dropped in was that also it's the same life. Because, you know, when I look at the tree, I see that the same life that animates it animates me, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, I understand, yeah.
And you make a really important point that not a lot of people want to consider. And that is that while we are conditioned to be very casual about life in other forms, we are very dedicated to maintaining our life at any cost. But when we realize it's all one life, our point of view, even about that, begins to change.
I see, I understand. Yes, it's like we are conditioned to be numb about some supposedly separate but not separate forms of life. I see, I understand.
Thank you
so much.
Well, I think we're going to have a lot to talk about at the New Year's retreat, don't you?
I'm so looking forward to it.
I am too, can't wait. Thank you
so much. Deep. Thank you, Michael. Thank you to everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isota, from the other side of the world.
So you said New Year's retreat with Sangha from all over the world. There we are.
There's the first one.
Yeah. That's wonderful.
Great.
You know, I have to tell you, that is a thrill for me about our Sangha. Now, maybe all Sanghas are like that. I don't know, because I don't know any other Sanghas, really. But to be at a retreat and look around and see people from from all parts of the world. It's just, it is such a thrill. It seems so emblematic of exactly what we're talking about here. You know, there are no divisions. I mean, that's kind of a simple division perhaps to draw, but then maybe not so simple since people kill one another regularly over those kinds of divisions. So.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Great, and we have more callers here.
Okay, good. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jennifer from Washington State.
Well, hello, Jennifer. How are you this evening?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
My awareness coach thought it would be a good idea if I called in, and I thought it was a good idea, too, so here I am.
Well, good. Well, what should we look at since we're here together? Did your coach have a thought about that, or was that going to be?
Well, she said Sherry likes to hear practice works good news, so you should call in and tell her all about it.
That's right. That is it. Gosh, goodness knows she loves nothing else quite so much. Yes. Yeah.
Well, what I've noticed, it took me a while to notice this, but that's a direct result of practice and recording and listening being a part of that, is so I have this chronic condition that sometimes is just extremely difficult and other times not so bad, and it just kind of goes up and down and up and down. And I noticed, it took me a long time to notice this process of when things are getting better, conditioning does this thing I call the setup, which goes into all these huge fantasies about how great it's going to be and how it's all over and we never have to think of it again. Mm. And then when it slides down, of course, then I'm just devastated because I believed it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the setup. And then when things get worse, in quotes, when things get worse, then I get the terrorizing treatment about how horrible it is and how my life is over and it's never going to change and it's always going to be dastardly like this. And so I would go up and down and up and down and up and down. And with practice, it's more evened out now because I don't listen to them with the setup. Every time I hear the setup, I just practically jump up and yell out loud, "Setup! I caught that. That's the setup.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't even go with it. I just chop it off at the pockets. And then when I get down into the other one, I go, aha, the terrorizer is here. Yeah. And I have this little image that I've come up with. Actually, part of it's from one of your books. There's a woman meditating and then a child next to her meditating. She's got her arm around her. And she's protecting her. And then I have a super cape, anti-terrorism cape that I put over the whole thing. So I just snap that vision up when the terrorizing happens. And so there's just less suffering overall.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, that's so good to hear. It really is. I so know that place that you're describing from depression.
Yes.
You know, that same process of it's always on the side that's going to create the greatest amount of suffering.
Exactly. And it's just, I mean, the situation hasn't changed. It's still got the up and downs, but there's just not as much, you know, suffering added, you know, huge amounts of suffering added on top.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and, you know, with you, I don't know your version of this, but for me, it was getting to the place even of stopped saying I'm depressed, and I would just be low energy or high energy, or I would feel really well, or you know, I'd feel energetic or not so energetic.
Yeah, you just get to that point where you say, well, this is how it is today.
Yes, and within that, you know, I'm up for this and that, and you know, the other, I think I'll wait until I have a little more strength, a little more energy, and with that, I don't know about you, but I've found that it's shocking how much I'm capable of.
Yeah.
Because none of the energy is going to that, is getting sucked out into that, either the terrorist or the setup.
Right.
And all the attention is right here for life. And then within the situation,
so much more is available to us.
Right. And one of those things being the ability to, like, turn attention to more pleasant things or to things that can be enjoyed.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So even if you don't have a lot of strength, or even if you're in pain, or even if you're whatever is going on, it's
mm-hmm.
still possible to turn attention to enjoying life.
Right.
Once we know that's possible for us. God,
yeah.
Don't you just wish that it were possible to bottle this and give it away all over the world? It's just,
yes.
If everybody could know this, what a difference it would be.
Oh, such a reduction in misery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the truth of the matter is, we've got what we've got.
Right.
You know, and the conditioning would say, oh, no, your life experience is determined by external circumstances, by content.
Right.
So if you have a condition, you must suffer. That's just all
right.
There is to it. And the only way you're not going to suffer is when you no longer have that condition. And, oh, by the way, you're always going to have that condition.
Right? Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Mm. Always going on like that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
This
well,
is
thank you.
Good.
I'm glad your coach talked you into it, and I'm glad you followed that great advice, because I really appreciate hearing that.
Me too. Well, I appreciate everything you do and everything Sangha does, and thank you, Michael, also.
We're so lucky, aren't we?
We are.
We are. We truly are. We truly are. All right. Good night.
Thank
Jennifer.
You. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jennifer. That was fun. It's always good to get a good news story.
Love them. And, you know, it's so true. I don't know. There has to be a project for somebody. There has to be, you know, maybe it's Jennifer. Who knows? But somebody who would like to compile this information. You know, that all of the people in this Sangha, and probably once we, you know, started the project, we would find all kinds of people around the world who have made the same discovery, that yes, circumstances are what circumstances are, and the attitude of mind and heart still offers us a life of gratitude and enjoyment and productivity and service and anything we want our lives to be, regardless of content, regardless of life circumstances. Because, boy, it is just not... It's not information that an awful lot of people have, and I think we all need it. So there. You know, I don't know if you remember, I'm sure you do, because you've been around for all of this, but at one point when we were doing the Learning to Love Learning, I was hopeful that somebody would do a book on Learning to Love Learning.
Yes.
And or a project. It doesn't have to be a book. I just think in terms of books for some reason. But some sort of project about that, and this would be an incredible process to offer the world. You know, actually interviewing the people who have whatever condition they have, and then how they have moved to a place of realizing that condition doesn't need to define them, and it certainly does not need to dictate the circumstances of their life and their ability to enjoy their lives thoroughly. So, if anybody's out there, give me a call.
Project for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Wonderful,
okay.
Wonderful.
Yeah. What else you got going?
We're going to break here for a second, and we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you see?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, it's Jen from Rhinebeck, New York.
Well, hello, Jen.
Hello.
How are you?
Very good. Very, very good.
Now, let's see. Let me get it here. Doggone it. I just read it. What's the website?
Pockets of Stillness.
Pockets of Stillness.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Pockets of Stillness. Very worth visiting.
No, oh, thanks. Pocketofstillness.com.
Okay. Yep.
Which is a direct result of a project that I've been working on for a while that I wanted to give an update on, which is the scheduling practice.
Aha. Tell us more.
Yes. Yeah, so this, you know, started about a year ago when I left a full-time job to freelance and started working more closely with the schedule of my life, because it just sort of went chaotic. As soon as I left the job, I was sleeping till 9 in the morning, which conditioning was encouraging me to do and telling me it was, you know, beyond luxurious, you know.
Uh-huh.
So the scheduling got a little loose earlier this year. I was traveling for many months, and I've sort of recommitted to it in the last, especially the last couple weeks since we had retreat in Pennsylvania, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was good, wasn't it? We did have a good time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. And I guess I've noticed a couple things. One of the things I recognized on retreat was, you know, and I've seen this before, how structure really supports the things that I want to do in my life. So I had thought, okay, well, I live by myself. I work for myself now. Why don't I set my life up as if I'm on a monastic schedule?
Uh-huh.
So I came back and took my scheduling to the next level. It was sort of in large blocks throughout the day, and I got a lot more specific, you know, honed down the times a lot more. And within like 48, I realized that this wasn't going to work because the rest of the world is actually not on a monastic schedule.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself. Nor are they interested in being.
Nor are they interested. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I had not budgeted time in for talking to my family or spending time with friends or, you know, any of the things that normally happen in the regular world.
Mm-hmm.
So as I worked that first week with sort of adjusting the schedule, you know, learning to play with it a little more, I sort of am seeing how, like, this isn't actually about scheduling. And it's funny because it's kind of a practice principle that you talk about often, but I guess I'm just understanding it to a new level. It's like I remember hearing you in a talk once, a recording somewhere of, you know, making a commitment to do anything. It could be waking up in the morning and touching your nose 3 times. Like, it could be that simple. And really the whole point is it's not actually about the commitment. It's about being in relationship with life.
Yeah.
You know, seeing how you're in relationship with life.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like what I'm seeing is how, like, okay, the point of the schedule is not to schedule myself to death or not to even, you know, make sure I get the work done that I need to get done or, you know, to make sure I get the practice in that I want to practice. I don't even think it's about that. It's about something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things are benefits, some of them, you know.
Well, and they lead us to it, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
so
what's happening, is that I'm presented with options, and I can weigh the options of, oh, is this going to lead me to the place that I know I want to go?
Yes. Yes. Because with a monastic schedule, I mean, why have monastics all over the world throughout time come up with a schedule?
Right.
Well, because it's the way to have a balanced life.
Mm-hmm.
right? Because you then you have everything in your life that takes care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is then freed up is that larger thing that you're mm-hmm. closing in on,
mm-hmm.
which I would say is being in such direct relationship with life that being in the flow of life, all of the things that take care of you naturally occur.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So my thing that I always get on about learning to be in touch with the body, with food, you know, so you walk into a buffet and it's got every kind of whatever that you can think of lined up there, and you just walk along and you just watch your body
mm-hmm.
choose what it wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's so foreign to most people because, of course, conditioned mind is always choosing for the body.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, what you're closing in on is the same thing. The life is a buffet.
mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that if I'm going to make one choice, something else might have to drop off in order to make that choice.
Yes, for
you
now.
Know, so for now, yeah, or for in a
yeah.
given day. Yeah, I was just thinking,
yeah.
like in a given day, you know. So
yeah.
it's like if a friend calls and wants to take a walk, but I've got time scheduled to work, I need to decide. Like, and I can look at things from a little bit less of a. It feels a little bit more like there's an adult in the room.
Yeah.
You know, that
yes.
it's like, okay, I see on the schedule, if I choose to go on this walk with this friend right now, then this work is actually going to need to get done, and it might need to get done this evening when I had scheduled, you know, perhaps something else or maybe nothing at all. And, okay, yes, I'm going to make this choice because it feels like it'll work, you know. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
And I would add a piece that I bet you're also working on, which is, and I'm not going to entertain any voices
yeah.
with better ideas.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm doing is paying attention and watching what happens when this and what happens when that.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. Yep, and noticing, you know, when I stop paying attention to the schedule and start paying more attention to those voices, how
mm-hmm.
things fall apart so quickly.
Downhill in a big hurry, huh?
In a big hurry, yeah.
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 So, again, you were making a reference to this, and it's so important. The schedule stays, right, in the same way the commitment stays.
Yes.
And it's not about rigidly keeping a schedule or rigidly keeping a commitment.
Okay.
But it's also not about tossing it. So that it's the reference point, right? It's the true north or whatever it is that you keep
yeah.
coming back to,
yep.
to because you have to look somewhere for the
exactly.
guidance, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's sort of the lens through which I can make decisions that aren't being made by conditioning.
Yes.
You know, it's
yep.
it's just another tool. Like it's, you know, it could be anything else, you know.
Yes.
It just happens to be a Google Calendar, you know.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And yes, because what you're doing each time is making the choice to come to the moment and be here to look.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's true. I mean, we could put anything in that place, just like tapping
right.
our nose when we wake up.
Exactly.
A calendar, a schedule is very, very helpful. Again, a big part of that is because there's so much resistance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then things like, you know, scheduling in a half hour a day to write has resulted in, you know, in just 2 weeks, 6 blog posts and the launch of the blog that had been languishing for a year, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So it's like, oh, things actually can happen.
Yes.
If I follow
yes.
a schedule.
Yes. Well, and with the attitude of mind that you're employing, right?
Yeah.
Because what you're actually doing, rather than karmic conditioning. Oh, okay, you want a schedule? All right. And then it grabs you around the throat and, you know, this is your schedule and you don't vary from that. And but the way you're doing it, that schedule is really opening a doorway.
Yeah.
So there, yeah. Now there's a portal, and through that can come all of the stuff, all of the creative stuff, all of the fun, all of the whatever it is that's available when all of our attention isn't going to maintain egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't think there's been a day in the last couple weeks where I've gotten to the end of the day and felt like, God, I didn't get to do the things I wanted to do today. And that was the story all the time. You know, somehow, you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, it was like I managed to work maybe 3 hours in a day and somehow still not have time to meditate or take a walk.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
It's like, I don't know how, I don't know where the time was going, literally, and I didn't know, you know, I was sort of, there was a fog, and that's another piece of how being, keeping the schedule is like, there's an accountability, which I don't know if that sounds like a bit of a strong word, but there's an awareness, actually.
There's an awareness. You're here.
I'm here. And I realized that. You know, it might take a half hour to prepare and make breakfast, and I'd only given myself 15 minutes the first day. So now I actually understand that to eat breakfast in the way I'd like to requires a half hour, so I can give myself that time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's astounding when we think we're conscious.
Yes.
And we think we're present. And yet, as you say, you know, I look at my life and I don't know where the time goes. How is that possible? Well, now you're here and you're seeing what used to happen and making different choices now. So now you know. If you get to the end of the day and you didn't get any work done and you didn't get any exercise done and you didn't do your practices, well, you do know what you did instead of those things.
Yeah.
And it was probably something you chose to do, which is go on a long bike ride and go have lunch with friends and da-da-da-da-da. So I don't know if you do the, you know, little things on a calendar. I do obsessively, as most people know. and especially now with the 10,000 steps a day, you know, for cantaloupe or however many steps you do. But that was one of the big adjustments for me. It's like I have all of these things that I get stars and hearts and all of these little stickies for. But I didn't do any of those things.
Yeah.
So I don't get anything. Well, no, because I spent the whole day doing this other thing that I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so I get rewarded for that.
Yeah. I'm not doing it on a calendar. I have a big poster board, and I've just got it written, like, you know, in like 6 or 7 different things on the poster board. So eventually the idea will be the whole poster board will just be stickers.
Yes. Excellent. Well, I have a friend who actually painted a calendar on her wall. So that she can do the whole thing with chalk, different colored chalk and write it all in. So, yeah, and that's the, we want to remember that we're well-rounded people. And so it's as important, you know, if you spend all day at a family reunion, the reward is not, oh, I got nothing on my calendar for that day. No, you get maybe a bigger heart because it's a loving thing to do.
Right. Yes, there was one day last week I did something like 16,000 steps, and I was like, I'm getting 2 stickers for that today.
Right.
That's a lot. Yeah. That feels like a lot of steps.
That's a lot of steps, indeed. Well, thank you, Jen. I love these progress reports, and I still think there's something ahead for you on this one, right? You're going to reveal this whole process to the world at some point.
It sounds like it.
Very good. All right.
Thanks, good night.
Thanks,
Mike. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air. And, yeah, that was great. It's fun to talk about schedules and how they work. And, as you often remind us, how they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And paying attention to all of it is really the key.
Yeah. And right, because it's who's doing it, isn't it? That's
yes.
That's if it's happening from center, it's, as they say, all good. If it's happening in egocentric karmic conditioning, it can be the best idea in the world, and it's just going to be a misery before long.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, it's Barbara calling from Australia.
Oh, my goodness, and what a grand, clear connection we have. Really,
sounds
like you're sitting in the next room. That's great.
Oh, okay, it's the first time I've tried calling through the internet thing.
Oh, well, it seems to be working.
New platform.
Yeah,
great.
Good. Oh, good. I heard about that was going to happen, but that's all that I knew about it. So this is the new our new radio show platform thingy that works all
yeah.
over the world. Huh? Yeah. Well, that's
yeah.
good. So how are you? How's it going?
I'm good today. Yep, good today.
Uh-huh. That's kind of all we can ever say, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm feeling very grateful for it. It's, I've had
mm-hmm.
the workshops continuing.
Mm.
But, you know, there's been quite a few times just recently, Sherry, where I've just really been able to appreciate how much I've seen, like in the last 18 months or however long I've been in this place on my own having the workshop. And I've had a few situations where I've just really been able to see, oh my God, like my different level of awareness. And I did something recently that I did a workshop that I had a lot of anxiety about doing. I wasn't sure if I was up to it and whether it was the right thing. And I just made a decision to go ahead with it and to just pay a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
To the whole process, you know, the anxiety leading up to it, the decision to go, what it felt like when I was there. And, it was hard being there, but I got to just see so much. And it's continuing, you know, it's just like I just learnt more from that workshop, like very little of it was what was actually happening in the workshop.
Your workshop was the meaningful part.
It was my
part.
Workshop. I mean, I think over time I'll realize I learned what they were teaching in the workshop as well. But, it was amazing. And I just thought, you know, in the past, a few years ago, I would have seen that as a wrong decision
mm-hmm.
because it was taxing on my body and it felt like I'd pushed it a bit far. I wasn't really ready for it and, you know, different things. But this time, it just, yeah, I mean, I could see that voice wanting to come in and say that to me and tell me that it was wrong, but instead it's just been a continuing unfolding of insights that it's given me and awarenesses. And I feel very grateful.
And, of course, that would explain the resistance. Right, that's why the voices are so invested in you not doing it, because look at all that you've seen. And you know, I don't know about you, but it's really hard for me ever to believe that something that I feel good about is ever going to be bad for me.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
I think so. Do you want to say anything
yeah.
more?
Well, it's. So the voices would say, you're overdoing, but I'm really happy. And I think my really happy trumps I'm tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could rest all the time and mostly rest in voices telling me I'm tired and I need to rest. Or I could wear myself out doing something that I feel really good about. And I think in the big picture, that one's going to be better for me. That basically happiness is the great healer.
Yes. This, I think, looking back, I think it was a situation where it was conditioning that sort of pushed me to go, because I don't think it was actually, it wasn't something that made me, that sort of brought up a lot of happiness. But I know what you're saying, and I know the difference between those two places where I'm not, you know, I'm not feeling great, I don't have much energy, but I really want to do something, you know, I just my heart just really wants it. And I do it, and yes, sure, I'm often, you know, tired afterwards and whatever, but it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Because I'm lit up from it, you know, I'm happy.
Yes, yes. And with this one, you've gained so much, so many insights, so many awarenesses, that the strength that gives your system, I think, far, I mean, I don't know that, obviously, but I certainly suspect that I've watched it in myself. I've watched countless times I've watched when my body gets have gotten anxious or stressed or that's tired from unhappiness basically and that's when I get sick. It's never when I'm up and happy and enthusiastic and that sort of thing. So I don't know. I think down the road when we have a very different view of medicine, that's going to become more apparent to people, that what hurts us, what kills us, is the voices.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I was also able, like just yesterday, to make a decision about postponing a medical procedure that I'm supposed to have next week. And you know, I had that same kind of anxiety, you know, coming up around that, and because it's quite invasive and it's anaesthetic, and I noticed that same process starting to happen, just this incredible anxiety and recording and listening around it, trying to identify what's being said to me and who's saying what, but really I just felt just, you know, trapped in that duality of should I, shouldn't I, But yesterday morning I picked up the recorder and I asked the body, tell me what you want, tell me what you need. And it was so clear. It was so clear, and I felt myself just come straight back to center.
Wow, that gives me chills. That's fabulous. I last night I was writing a blog. I got inspired by several stories kind of like that, you know, where things happen to people. And so something happens, something physical happens, and it's like it's an anesthetic. It's like this physical thing has happened. The only intelligent thing to do is go completely unconscious, turn my life over to conditioned mind, and do whatever it says.
Mm.
And of course, you know, I so desperately want people to take the approach that you just described, you know, to take time and get beyond the fear and the anxiety and all of the stuff that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is throwing at a person, the terrorists that Jennifer described earlier, you know, oh my God, it's this, and you're going to die, and if that doesn't, you know, to sit still through that and come back to the body and be calm, there's hardly anything short of getting run over by a truck that we have to make a decision about immediately and just jump on the anxiety wagon. It doesn't happen that quickly. People could just stop and get back in touch with themselves, again, I think so much unhappiness could be avoided.
Yeah, it was so powerful, you know, because it felt like the energy behind that conditioned hype that was going on was like a semi-trailer, you know, careening down the highway. And to try to somehow find stillness in that place and because the voices were sort of like, oh, you know, you put it off and then what happens? You find out you've got cancer and it'll be your fault and, blah, you know, big threats.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's the thing. That's what I wish for people, if we take the time to sit still, to be with ourselves, to do some research, to look into things, to remember that just because somebody has some initials behind their name doesn't mean that they're conscious. It doesn't mean they're able to make good decisions. So to take responsibility for our own lives and get to the place where, yes, I'm going to do the procedure and I feel good about it. I'm taking full responsibility for it. If it doesn't go well, it doesn't go well, but it was my choice rather than just railroaded into something and then maybe it doesn't go the way we hoped, which oftentimes things don't. And then, as the voices say, it's your fault, and if you'd done this, and if you hadn't done that, and whatever. And so making decisions from anything other than a clear, calm, centered place is always going to result in disaster, whether the procedure goes well or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
well,
much
I'm
gratitude. It's lots of moments, as I said recently, where I've just seen it working.
Yes. And the trust, the faith that grows from that, you know, that we're okay. We're all right. You can sit down and you can breathe. You can ask your body. You can come to center. You can get to a place of peace. You can work through all of that stuff. And there's time to do that because that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, thank you.
Yep.
I'm glad you called, and we have this beautiful, clear connection, and you told us that story, and I'm grateful for all of that.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you to Michael, too.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Sound like the Truman Show, right? Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and if I don't see you again, good night. All right. Thanks, Barbara.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara, and thank you all for joining us for another Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, it was good.
Fun.
It was good. Talk to you soon, huh?
Okay. Let's do it again.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.